Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 21, starting in verse 20 through 24. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. You may be seated. Please pray with me. O Lord, we ask for your wisdom, Lord, that you would teach us. Lord, we just ask that you would humble our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would draw us near to yourself, that we would learn and seek you more and more. Lord, we just ask that you would teach us now. Lord, I pray you'd protect everyone from my sin, from my error, that your truth would go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I began this morning speaking some from Psalm 1 and just the pursuit of the Lord in the life of the Christian and how this is an ongoing pursuit. Delighting in Him, pursuing the Lord. And certainly, this is what it should be for the believer. Delighting in the Lord, as verse 2 spoke of, in delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating day and night. And yet, in this pursuit, there are many distractions, aren't there? There's many distractions. And yet God provides for us in the Proverbs, if you will, He provides us so many guardrails through life. You see, we're going along and we're seeking the Lord. We're pursuing God. And yet, we're going the right direction, but we're not going exactly the right direction. And so we have these guardrails because we tend to go off in different extremes and we tend to get focused on one good thing, but we are too focused on it and we're neglecting these other good things. And so what a blessing it is that we have the Proverbs. God gives us so many practical ways in Proverbs how to live, and we see the guardrails that He gives us. And what a blessing they are, balancing us out, correcting us along the way as we pursue Him. And so we have many things in life to balance. You know, there's all the physical things in life. We have all of our physical needs and responsibilities, and we also have spiritual needs and responsibilities. And we can't neglect either. And so we also see just that all of these are important. And if we spend too much time on one thing, we're bound to be neglecting something else. And so, praise the Lord, He gives us, in His Word, He gives us the guardrails that we need through life. And so that He can keep us on track. Keep us focused on Him, that we might constantly pursue Him. And so this morning, the outline, the main point of this message is pursue the Lord. Pursue Him. Don't stop. Keep pursuing the Lord. 5 points. Number one, don't vainly pursue self-indulgence. Don't vainly pursue self-indulgence. Number two, pursue righteousness. Number three, pursue wisdom. Number four, pursue holiness of speech. And then number five, pursue humility. And so let's begin with number one. Don't vainly pursue self-indulgence. Verse 20. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Here we see in this verse, it's speaking of the differences in self-control between the wise man and the fool. You see, the wise man controls himself. He uses his resources in proper moderation. But the foolish man, he just lets his appetite run wild. He indulges, he consumes his resources with no restraint. Now this verse is very similar to verse 17 that we looked at before, speaking of the same lack of self-control and overindulgence, which comes from loving the things of earth and pursuing self-indulgence. But before we look at the foolish man, consider the wise man here in this verse. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Okay, this physical wealth that the wise man has here, that it's speaking of, it's implied here that this is simply the wealth, the increase that he has gained, that he has earned just by working hard and by being a good steward of his resources. You see, it isn't just that he's made a lot of money, but you see, the amount of money isn't really the issue. The emphasis here is on the self-control and his stewardship of what he has. And so the wise man does not just work hard and make money and then turn around and waste it all. He does not waste it all, but he's a good steward of the resources God gives him. He plans ahead. Okay, he doesn't just spend money on whatever he wants to, but he has a plan. He may have a budget. Also, he saves money. He saves money. He doesn't just live for today and deal with tomorrow's problems tomorrow. But he knows that trials will come. He knows that there will be unexpected expenses in life. And so he tries to prepare for whatever may come his way by not spending everything he has, not using it all up. So he puts money aside for the future. He saves some. And certainly he does this not out of a lack of trusting the Lord to provide for him tomorrow, but out of responsibility, out of good stewardship. You see, he knows that just because God has blessed him with plenty today doesn't mean God wants him to use it all up today. And so he's wise. He's a good steward. He keeps some back for tomorrow. He saves for the future. Now we see here that his house is furnished. It says he has precious treasure. He has oil. You see, he has what he needs. And he has what he needs today because when God blesses him with provisions, he doesn't waste it. He doesn't use it all up. You see, the wise man here, his house is well furnished. And it typically remains well furnished. Because although he has many resources at his fingertips, he is not vainly pursuing self-indulgence. His life pursuit is not all about pleasing himself and indulging and enjoying whatever he likes. But the foolish are not so. The foolish man, it says here, swallows it up. You see, again, the issue is not that the foolish man doesn't make any money. It isn't that he's poor. It's that what he does have, no matter how much it is, he spends it. He swallows it up. It's just like the old saying about having money burning a hole in your pocket. The fool lives for today with no regard for tomorrow. He simply spends more than he makes. He's not a saver, but he's a consumer, swallowing it up. And this is foolish. His spending is out of control. So we see here the great difference in self-control between the wise man and the fool. Going back to verse 17, the fool loves pleasures. He loves to indulge himself with no restraint or care about tomorrow. And so if there's wine, he'll drink it. If there's oil, he'll use it. If there's money, he'll spend it until he's used it all up. You see, he takes all that God has given him and he devours it all. He spends it quickly and rashly and almost always on his own indulgence. He spends it on himself. He consumes it himself. But the wise man is not so. He seeks to honor God with the resources that God gives him. You see, the difference here is the wise man doesn't love money. It's not all about feeling good and indulging in everything. So the wise man is not. On one hand, he's not the money-hungry miser, foolishly hoarding everything that he can. But at the same time, he's not this foolish, out-of-control spender who's just indulging everywhere he can. But he's balanced. He uses self-control. He's not vainly pursuing self-indulgence. And we see that there's blessing here. You see, he will often avoid the financial distress that the foolish man is prone to experience. Not only that, the wise man is far better equipped to help others who are in need. Because he hasn't wasted it all, he hasn't spent it all, he hasn't used it all up on himself. The fool is the one here who's out of control. He's consuming everything that he gets his hands on. And he's the one who ends up in want. While the wise man, who uses restraint, who spends and uses in moderation, his main goal in life is not to please himself. And yet he is the one who's satisfied. He is the one who has his needs met. So there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Number two is pursue righteousness. Verse 21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. Here we see the great blessings that come only from God. Just as Psalm 1 spoke about the blessings, how blessed is the man who delights in the law of God, so we see here those who pursue God are blessed abundantly. First of all, this verse speaks of a pursuit. You see, everyone is pursuing something. All of us, we're pursuing something. Now, for most people, it's the wrong pursuit. It's the pursuit of self-indulgence. It's all the wrong pursuits, trying to get rich or indulging in this or that or the other. But all of them are almost always centered around themselves. It's self-indulgence, self-gratification. They want to glorify themselves. Now, this is sin. and it leads to more sin. And this selfish pursuit is described as well, partly in verse 6 of this chapter. And it's referred to there as the pursuit of death. But here in this verse, we see what is the pursuit of life. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty. Now, obviously, this is not speaking of self-righteousness, for there is no righteousness in and of ourselves. But this is true righteousness, righteousness found only in Christ. This is really acknowledging that there is no righteousness in me and turning away from my sin to pursue righteousness in Christ. Now, by all means, this will never happen apart from God. No one seeks after God. But when God brings us to repentance and faith in Christ, we then turn away from all our former empty pursuits and pursue Christ. We pursue righteousness and loyalty. And so we see here in this verse, there are great rewards that we find when pursuing Christ. Rewards found nowhere else. In Christ, we have life. You see, in Christ, we not only have eternal life, but we find real purpose and meaning to life. You see, our purpose is to glorify God, to glorify Him, to seek Him, to enjoy Him. In Christ, we have righteousness. Again, true righteousness is found in Christ. This isn't our own self-made righteousness, this costume of righteousness that makes us feel or makes us look good, but this is real, genuine righteousness. Christ works His righteousness in us so that we don't just look good, but we actually are good because of Christ and His righteousness. And honor. In Christ we have honor. We, who deserve dishonor and shame, we have righteous, we have honor in Christ. Not only do we have the honor of being changed by God, but we have the honor of being used by God. And you see, that's why we can say that it's an honor. And we read in passages of where men have said, it's an honor even to what? Even to suffer for Christ. And so in Christ we have honor. So we see here there are many great rewards that are found only in Christ. So the question is, what are we pursuing? What are we pursuing? We should pursue the Lord. Certainly it's easy for us to see the error in passionately pursuing our own sinful desires. But neither should we be pursuing a life of comfort and leisure and relaxation. Do we take this pursuit seriously? I mean, are we taking pains with these things? Are we pursuing Christ wholeheartedly? You know, we look at the rewards mentioned here in the second half of this verse, and going back to Psalm 1, you know, we all want to be like that tree that's firmly planted. And yet, don't forget the path that God has to get us there, which is the path of pursuing Him, meditating on His law day and night. Psalm 1:2 speaks of delighting in the law of God. meditating on His law. Does this sound like a life of self-indulgence? Does it sound like the priority here is comfort? No, this is a labor of love. Pursuing Christ. Pursuing Him. A labor of love. It's not, it's time, I gotta read the Bible again. No, it's a labor of love. Praise the Lord. Seeking after Him. Pursuing Christ. You see, it's so easy for us to allow ourselves to be spiritually lazy. We get comfortable. You know, Kevin mentioned we come here. It is a great blessing to be able to live in America and gather together this morning freely. And yet we get so used to all our comforts. We get so used to no persecution. May we not be spiritually lazy. May we not take for granted the freedoms we have. May we not get sidetracked from pursuing Christ. And so we have a great reminder here of the great rewards that God gives us as we pursue Him. And may we be encouraged to fully apply ourselves, to fervently desire, to diligently and constantly endeavor to pursue Christ and His righteousness. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. Number three is pursue wisdom. Verse 22. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Here we see that wisdom is better than strength. Here we have a metaphor, a picture of war, if you will, teaching us the value of wisdom, teaching us which is better. Now we see two people here in this verse, a wise man and a mighty man. The mighty man, this is a powerful man. Possibly he is very strong physically. Maybe he's just very wealthy. Maybe he's in a position of authority and he has great power. Now certainly, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. And yet we see the problem here is that the mighty man is trusting in himself. He's trusting in himself, in his own power, in his own strength. He's leaning on his own understanding. And certainly this is very common for those who are in great power. Those who are rich or strong or have authority can easily be overcome by pride, and they trust in their own strength instead of the Lord. They foolishly believe that they are protected because of themselves, that they are unbeatable because of themselves, and they often overestimate their own strength and power. And so we see here that because the mighty man has his trust in himself, although he appears strong and powerful, he's actually weak and foolish in the big picture. We see that the mighty man does not get the victory, but he is defeated. The victory belongs to the wise man. The wise man, though he is modest, though he's rather unimpressive by appearance, he's wise. You see, he doesn't trust in himself or any of his strength, but he's fully leaning on the Lord Jesus. And it is He who has the victory. And we see this really all throughout Scripture. You see, the strength of Goliath is no match for wisdom. The strength, the power of Pharaoh It's no match. It's no match for wisdom. King Nebuchadnezzar, there's no match for wisdom. All throughout history, there's no match. Man's strength, all that we can muster up, the most powerful men in the world, no match for wisdom. And so we see here and throughout Scripture how the strength of a mighty man is no comparison to God's wisdom. And this reminder should grow our faith. It should encourage us to pursue what has real value. You see, it isn't the mighty man, but the wise who win the victory. We should pursue the Lord and growing in His wisdom. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Better to be a poor, lame man, trusting in the Lord and His wisdom, than to be the wealthiest, most powerful ruler on earth, and trusting in yourself. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Number four, pursue holiness of speech. Verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Here we see the benefits of using self-control in regards to the use of our mouth. Those who care about their soul must set a guard about their mouth. You see, just as we don't just put anything and everything into our mouth. And we shouldn't. And just as we guard that, how much more important that we guard what comes out of our mouth. So much more important. We must not allow our mouths freedom to just speak anything and everything that we think of. Words are extremely powerful. They can cause tremendous harm. So we must be very careful to guard our mouth, to speak what needs spoken, and to hold back what we should not speak. Now, certainly there are times when people sin by not speaking when they should. But certainly it is more common that there are times when people sin by speaking when they shouldn't. You see, we tend to gossip. We tend to say things we shouldn't in anger. We tend to speak without thinking. All of this is very dangerous. There is great reason we are instructed to guard our mouth. Here in this verse, speaking of guarding our mouth, we see it gives us the reason so that we might avoid troubling our soul. So consider a few of the troubles that can be avoided by guarding our mouth. We can avoid the regrets and the remorse that we will feel when that anger passes and we see clearly again and we regret the evil words that we spoke. We can avoid the struggles of strife and contention that follow after we have offended a brother and we've put stress on relationships because of the words that we should have never spoken. We can also avoid the conviction we feel in knowing that we did not honor God in what we said, knowing that He heard what we said and He isn't pleased with the use of our mouth. So the lesson here is to keep a guard on your mouth. Pursue holiness of speech. Use self-control. Just as most things are, this is so much easier said than done. But it is so important. Guard your mouth. Speak the truth. Speak everything in love. Speak wisdom. Speak for the need of the moment. But guard your mouth. For as you do, you will avoid hurting others. You'll avoid destroying relationships. And you will avoid troubling your own soul. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Then number 5, pursue humility. Verse 24. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. Here we see the bad names and bad reputations that are earned by those who do not control themselves, but they passionately pursue their evil desires. The second half of this verse describes this person as one who acts with insolent pride. You see, this person they are not governed by reason or justice, but by their own pride and passions. This is a wicked man. This is a man out of control. His actions are harmful and evil. You see, they're driven by his pride. He's so arrogant. You see, this man is so self-centered. He loves himself. He admires himself. He impresses himself. You see, he's always thinking about himself. And his pride, his arrogance, not only make him bold and confident in pursuing his evil desires, but it also makes him completely unreasonable and unaware of reality. You see, he's so proud of himself. He spends all of his time thinking about himself. And he thinks that everybody else is thinking about him too. This is a terrible person. Now, one example of this out-of-control, prideful man that we see in Scripture is certainly wicked Haman. Turn with me, if you would, to look for just a minute to consider the insolent pride of Haman. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Esther. In Esther 5, verse 9, we learn a little bit here about Haman. It says, "Then Haman went out that day, glad and pleased of heart." So here he is, Haman's happy, everything's going right, it's a good day. And then he sees Mordecai. And Mordecai does not honor him. He doesn't stand up, he doesn't tremble. He doesn't give him the honor that he wants. And he's angry just like that. He's mad. This is wicked Haman. He gets angry so quick. He's happy one minute. Everything's going well. And then he's angry. It's because of his pride. Then continuing on. Then in verse 11. We see he goes home and he calls for his wife and his friends and he just goes on and on here, starting in verse 11. It says, then Haman recounts to them the glory of his riches and the number of his sons and every instance where the king had magnified him and how he had promoted him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman also said, even Esther the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet. And she had prepared, that she had prepared. And so here he is. You see, proud people, they love to talk about themselves. They love to talk about all of their glories and what they've done and how pleased everyone is with them. And so here he is telling them this, and then, of course, he tells them his problem with Mordecai, and they give him the idea, just build the gallows, talk to the king tomorrow, and get Mordecai taken care of. But yet, then we see in the next chapter, we see that Haman thinks of himself more than anybody else. And he foolishly thinks that the king thinks of him more than anyone else too. And you remember what happens. I won't read through it, but here basically what happens is Haman comes in and the king invites him in and he says to him, Haman, what should I do for the man that I want to honor? And Haman says, ha, I thought you'd never ask. It's me. I know it's me. Haman knows he's the one the king wants to honor. You see how foolish he is because of his pride? He thinks it's him. Of course. Who else would it be? Who else would the king want to honor but me? And so he goes on, and he tells the king, oh, this is what you should do for the man you want to honor. Put him in your robe and put him, you know, take him, lead him, put him on a horse and lead him around the square. He thinks, because of his pride blinding him, he thinks the king is asking him what he can do for him. He thinks he's talking about him. He has no idea that the king isn't talking about him. He's actually talking about Mordecai. And so you see how blinding pride is. He's so proud. He's so proud. Something comes up, a blessing. Oh, it must be me he wants to bless. No, really it's not. So here we have Haman. He's a proud, wicked man. He acts with insolent pride. You see, he is the very type of person that this verse in Proverbs is speaking of. And we see here that these wicked men who have earned such an evil reputation, they are called names such as proud, haughty, scoffer. I think of when the king asks who would do such a thing, and the queen says, she doesn't say Haman, she says, this foe, this enemy, this Haman, no, this wicked Haman. You see, for Haman and for others like him, although they desire to honor themselves, although they want so badly for others to honor them, because of their evil deeds, because of their wickedness, they are remembered for dishonor and shame. They're not honored or admired for good, but they're remembered for evil. They're remembered for foolishness. And so we see here good reminders of the many pitfalls of pride. We must pursue humility and always guard against pride. You see, pride is not just wicked Haman's problem, but it's our problem as well. We struggle with pride. So we need to pursue humility. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. So in conclusion, may we be humble. May we be humble. Remember, life is not all about me and what I want and what I like and what feels good to me. May we not foolishly pursue self-indulgence. May we seek Christ, His righteousness, His wisdom. May we trust in Him, not in our strength, not in our own understanding. We have so many responsibilities in life. Certainly, it's hard to balance them all. It's hard to keep focused on Christ. But we must delight in the Lord. Continue pursuing the Lord. Delight in Him. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is our righteousness. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have worked in us. Lord, that you have forgiven us our sin, that you have opened our eyes to our own wickedness. Lord, we thank you so much for Christ, for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, that we can look at these passages and we can see how you are working these things in our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for loving us, for guiding us through life. Lord, we pray that we would pursue you. Lord, that you would help us to keep from being distracted. Lord, that you would help us to find the right balance as we go through life. Lord, that we might honor you in all areas of life. That we would please you. That we would guard our mouth. Lord, that we would pursue the things that are really important. Lord, what a challenge it is. We ask for your wisdom to know how to live, to make our decisions each day that we might bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.